You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football after a big win on Monday night. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What's happening, dude?
Snow. Snow is happening.
Snow sucks. I hate snow.
Man, I'm telling you, a rare November day off here in the Mitten. Earliest I can remember having a day off, we about 8 to 10 inches of snow overnight, and it's still coming down. And like I was telling you before we started, I got the old snow blower running, and within a half hour, we had another half inch on the ground. So I hope this isn't a precursor of the next 5 to 6 months, because I'm already tired of it.
Oh, I know, dude. It's cold as hell here in Central PA, but yeah, we have no snow yet, and I don't want any parts of that crap. So you can keep it up there, and yeah, because I don't want to shovel yet, and I'm not even sure where my shovel is, dude. So yeah, well, no snow yet.
Man, I don't blame you. We'll move on. Let's talk about something more positive.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, the game last night was positive. However, the news today may be not so positive. So before we even jump into the game,
right,
as of about 20 minutes ago, as we were recording this today, the Steelers released a statement that they had cut LeGarrette Blount after his actions from the game last night in Tennessee when he left the field early after not getting any carries, seemingly just pretty much pissed off, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
And he had been grumbling earlier in the season about wanting more carries. The Steelers made a statement that they weren't going to tolerate somebody, you know, having that kind of attitude. So I guess my question is, the Steelers now are pretty much, you know, left with Bell and Dre Archer, so they're going to have to go somewhere else to look for another back. So give me your thoughts on Blount being cut and who they might be looking at, either practice squad or otherwise.
Yeah, okay, so let's go back it up here to last night. Initially, there was some confusion. I know some reports said that he had left the field early before the game had actually, you know, hit zeros. Some had said that he had left the locker room before anybody else, and it's kind of all the above. He did leave the field before the game ended officially. And, you know, if you don't know football, that's a no-no. It really, in any team sport, you just don't do that. It's selfish. It's inappropriate. It doesn't look good, and you just don't do it. And clearly, this was something that had been boiling. The Post Gazette was reporting this morning that one player who was not to be named basically said, "Let's just leave him here in Nashville." And another couple guys said that this had been coming. They were getting tired of his attitude. It was obvious in and out of the locker room and on the practice field. So maybe we shouldn't be totally surprised. The guy's got a track record, you know, a mile long, going back to his college days of being kind of a problem. But, you know, from a football aspect now, yeah, you're right. You've got Bell. You've got Dre Archer. My gut tells me right now they'll look for Josh Harris, a kid out of Wake Forest that was in camp with the Steelers. He'll have some offensive familiarity. He'll know the offense a little bit, you know. I know there's going to be questions about Ben Tate, who the Browns released today. I don't think that's going to happen. He'll A, probably want too much, and B, he's, from what I understand, he's not much better in the locker room than Blount. So I think that's where they'll start. That doesn't mean that they won't look around on other teams' practice squads and maybe find somebody there. Of course, they do that. They got to sign them to the active squad, but I don't think that'll be a problem. So that's where we're going here, Matt, with the latest Blount drama. And the sad part is I can no longer wear my Le Backfield T-shirt because it's no longer Le Backfield.
That's exactly right. It is a singular lay backfield,
yes,
type of deal now. So, yeah, kind of I was excited when they brought him in. You know, I wasn't expecting him to be, you know, like a superstar. And I would be shocked and beyond all recognition if this guy, meaning Blount, actually thought he was going to get, you know, the lion's share of the carries or even a lot of carries in any particular game. I mean, this is – Le'Veon Bell's team as far as the running game goes. He's the starter. Blount was brought in to be, kind of like a 1-2 punch type of thing. You know, maybe a bigger power guy, you know, spell Blount here and there, goal line, whatever you want to call it. So the fact that he's griping about carries, just it's surprising in the sense that I'm certain he knew what his role was going to be coming into this thing. So just, you know, I guess he's had a track record like this. Obviously, you know, he's been, you know, around the league and early in his career and often. So as of right now, he is officially unemployed. The Steelers are going to figure out what they can do. But the good part is we are coming into a bye week, so they've got an extra week to you know, scour the practice squads of other teams, free agents, whatever they want, and figure out how they're going to approach this. Mm-hmm. So let's move into the game and forget about Blount because he's no longer here and he sucks, so I don't care anymore.
Yep. Bye-bye, Garrett.
Exactly right. So the Steelers going into this game last night, obviously it was an important game. The AFC North, everybody was over 500 going into this past weekend of action. Steelers, of course, being no different. And now, so the game starts, and on the first offensive series for the Titans, Will Gay gets a pick six. Everything's happy for the most part. People are excited. Before you know, the Steelers are up 10-0. So tell me what you're thinking.
Well, first of all, I'm thinking this is the Steelers. I'm not going to just go to bed thinking this game's over and they're going to run away with it because, as I was proven, the Titans came back. I'm looking at the stats, Matt, and the rookie Bishop Sankey, I like him a lot, and I was stunned to see that he only ran for about 39 yards, and as a team, the defense only gave up 45 yards rushing. Yeah, 49, you know, out of 15 carries. So it's that wasn't too bad. The problem I felt was why weren't they bringing the pressure the way that they did? There's my dog. as they did, against Flacco. I mean, he had a similar type quarterback, a guy who good arm, but not real mobile. And I just didn't understand that part. And I don't mean to say that they weren't attempting to bring the pressure. I think they were, and Tennessee did a good job picking it up. But they just didn't get creative as they did in Baltimore. So now it's late in the game, third quarter, it's 24-13, and let's face it, our offense hadn't really done a whole lot. Ben was very up and down last night. I mean, he'd have one horrible throw, and then he'd throw an absolute laser. And the only constant, ironically, was Bell, who was just tipping off 5-6 yards a carry, and that was the difference ultimately. And to be fair, the defense got a couple 3-and-outs late too. So yeah, when we're sitting there at 10-0, I by no means thought this was over, but I felt like we were going to win the game. I guess at least I can say that.
Well, yeah, at that particular time, I was thinking, even though the Steelers had to settle for a field goal initially, and then, of course, they got, the pick six, I'm thinking, okay, the Titans aren't that great. We're on the road. The Steelers, looked like hell the previous week against the Jets, so they're going to bounce back. Things are going to be great. I certainly wasn't going to bed happy either because I knew what was going to happen, and sure enough, just as soon as it was, 10-0, all of a sudden, the Steelers find themselves, fumbling around in the passing game, lack of red zone production. Defense is starting to make, the rookie Mettenberger look like a Pro Bowler, just like they always do. And tell me, for the love of God, why do announcers, I don't care if it's Monday Night Football or NBC or CBS or Fox, why do they always say Dick LeBeau was the greatest defensive coordinator against rookie quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah? And I'm thinking, every time we play one, yeah, we might beat them most of the time, but we still make them look like world beaters for at least part of the game. And Mettenberger, hit that bomb to Nate Washington, and after about the first quarter and a half, he actually started to look pretty comfortable, if you ask me.
Well, the funny thing with him is I was looking at his stats yesterday. His first quarters of his first two starts, his rating was like 95. But then quarters like 2, 3, and 4, his rating dropped to like single digits. So he actually did pretty much the complete opposite yesterday. He came out, he threw the horrible pick six, and then late in the quarter and into the second, third quarter, he bounced back. So it was kind of a complete reversal for him. As far as, you can't argue with the LeBeau stat. I think, what does he move to like now? 18-2 against rookie quarterbacks?
Something like that, yeah.
But last night was a perfect illustration. yes, the defense picked up a couple three and outs at crucial times, okay, so I'm not ripping totally, but the offense won this game in the fourth quarter. Let's not make any mistake about it. And that's one of those games where, yeah, it'll go on that record and say LeBeau beat another rookie quarterback, but he can walk over and thank the offense for this one, at least in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly my point is, you know, the announcers and everybody always harps about how great the Steelers' defense is against rookie QBs, but, you know, after the initial interception, I mean, a rookie QB could just kind of fold under the pressure and then, you know, just suck pretty much the rest of the game, but he actually turned it around. He was getting more comfortable. He was getting protection. Mm-hmm. The blockers for Tennessee were picking up the Steelers' blitzes and the pressure and whatnot, so... You know, he started to look pretty comfortable in that, and I started to get a little worried. And once we ended up going down by, what was it, like 11 points or something, yep. I thought, are you freaking kidding me? This is going to be two in a row. I mean, you know, the Steelers playing down to their competition again. You know, fortunately, it didn't end that way. But, you know, by, you know, the middle of the third quarter or so, and pretty much for most of the second half until they took the lead again, this game was in doubt, and I was absolutely not, you know, guaranteeing a comeback by any stretch.
Well, and I think what we have to be careful here is that, yes, it's a win. It's an important win. They all are. They get to, they're the first team in the North to get to seven wins now. But let's be real here, too. That win last night masked still some real issues, though. I mean, they made it, as you mentioned, they made a rookie quarterback look pretty darn good. The coverage, again, in the secondary is...
Oh, my God, horrific.
You know, Willie Gay had the one great play to start the game, and he was just beaten like a drum the rest of the game. He couldn't keep his footing about him. Why on earth are you biting on a double move with under a minute to go in the half is beyond me. And we can get in that. That I don't even so much put on Gay and LeBeau simply because I think Tomlin totally screwed up. They called a timeout when Pittsburgh had the ball. It was going to be third down, I believe it was, with 53 seconds left. There was no reason to have called a timeout there. Take your time, get to the line, burn some time off, and I guarantee if that interception that Ben throws happens, then Tennessee just runs the ball and goes in with their little 4-point lead at that time, and that's it. But you can't bite on a double move that late in the half. I mean, it's just that was such a rookie move by Gay. I was just stunned.
Well, yeah, that was bringing back memories of the Will Gay of old, who was just like the worst thing ever. And, you know, everybody was happy when he got cut and wondered when he came back and wondered why he came back. But, yeah, when I saw him bite on that, I went, oh, God, no, it's not going to happen. I went, oh, here we go. And now it seemed to me like the beginning of the end. I mean, in the second quarter, you know, Tennessee scored a field goal and a touchdown. In the third quarter, they scored a touchdown. So, you know, the Steelers relied on a big fourth quarter, you know, with both touchdowns, one to Bell for the run by Bell and then the Brown catch for 12 yards to take the lead and ultimately run out the clock. But I tell you, this I could see this coming, and I was on Twitter, and I was talking back and forth with a bunch of people, and I was just thinking, here we go again. And I said, before this game even started, I said, if the Steelers don't win convincingly, it's the same as a loss. And obviously it wasn't convincingly from a scoring standpoint, but you're right, it masked the issues that this team still has on defense that, you know, I just – you're right. LeBeau should absolutely go over and thank Todd Haley and Ben and Bell and the offensive line and Heath Miller for, you know, pretty much winning this game, because if they don't score those touchdowns, we absolutely are not winning this game.
No, and you know, and at the same time, I'm sure somebody would make an argument that the defense kept them in there at certain stretches, and I would understand that argument, but there's no doubt in my mind that ultimately the offense did get it going and save this game. So, yeah, you know what? It's not a fantastic win, but it's a win, and a loss would have been absolutely devastating because it would have taken you to 6-5. It would have been another conference loss, and those are amongst the top tiebreakers when you come into those tiebreak situations, which I guarantee we're going to run into again. And I don't necessarily mean us. Hopefully we just win the division. It's not an issue. But that's going to happen because you've got Miami and Buffalo in the East, along with New England. Out West, you've got Kansas City and Denver now. And, hey, don't look now, but you've also got Houston sitting there at 5-5, a game back of Indianapolis, who everybody thought was just going to run away with that division. So there's a ton of teams there. So wins are they're always crucial. We know that. But they're even more crucial right now with five games to go.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And at this point, the AFC is clearly wide open. Honestly, I mean, save for maybe the Patriots who are on a roll. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else is wide open. I mean, you know, the Broncos showed that they were human this past weekend. The Steelers obviously got a win. You know, so a win is a win. I get it. I'm happy. But you're right. I mean, there's still issues that hopefully don't continue to creep up on this team. And, you know, this is a stretch run where, you know, you've got to stay healthy. You've got to be on your game. Every win counts. There's no excuses. And there's some huge divisional games coming up in December that we're going to absolutely be, you know, pivotal for the division. Yeah. But obviously the big thing, the most, I guess, other than Blunt being cut, the biggest news, of course, would have been Le'Veon Bell in his first 200-yard performance. 33 carries, 204 yards, one touchdown. The longest run of the day was 27 yards, which is – but I think it, I saw a stat, and I didn't see it at the very end of the game, but about midway through the fourth quarter, almost 90 yards of his output on the ground was after contact. So, I mean, you know, it's just the offensive line was playing really well. And I tell you, in the fourth quarter, tell me that you were not thinking about this being the Steelers of old, just running the ball down your throat with Jerome Bettis, and everybody knows you're going to hand it off, and they can't stop it.
Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break. Let's get Body Tech in here, and then I'll give you a couple of numbers on that because you're absolutely right. Hey, Steelers fans, the holidays are fast approaching. And you know what that means. It means turkey and stuffing and gravy and pumpkin pie and everything else that goes with the holidays. If you want to avoid putting on that 10 or 15 pounds that comes with this sort of thing, get over to our friends at Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. They're open 24 hours, 7 days a week. They offer all kinds of stuff like group fitness, personal training, weight training, silver sneakers, there's tanning, and there's a juice bar there. Right now, get yourself online, and you can save $75. There's absolutely no joining fee right now if you join up with Body Tech online right now. They are located 1130 Perry Highway in North Hills, and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you. Okay, we're back, and we were talking about the way Bell looked in that fourth quarter. It was reminiscent of the Bettis days. Really, you could go back to the Barry Foster days, where you know, when the Steelers had a lead, it was just turned over to the offensive line, and you know, you want that to happen. You want it to look that way, and that doesn't mean you still might not have to throw it from time to time. But by goodness, it was just something amazing. And the stat you mentioned, the 90 yards after contact. He ended up with 204 total, but 196 of those yards were between the tackles.
Wow.
Which, I mean, it's just amazing, and I think I tweeted this last night. He gets into the smallest gaps and gets through them. It's like he's Mr. Fantastic, and he can stretch himself in there. It's just incredible. I mean, and this man is 6'1", 220 pounds. It's not like he's a little scat back. Just a phenomenal effort by him in the line last night.
Yeah, it was insane to watch. I mean, I was so excited just watching it. Obviously, the Steeler Nation had a huge presence in Nashville, you know, as they usually travel well. And, you know, there's always a big, you know, contingent of Steeler faithful there. But they were screaming for, you know, Bell, and they were cheering for the runs and for Heath and everybody. But, man, just watching Bell run and you watch the patience of the guy. He takes the handoff. And, I mean, he'll watch for the hole to open up, and if he doesn't see it, you can just see him start, you know, he'll cut on a dime and go right back to the left or to the right, or he'll go right up the middle. It's just the guy, for only being in the league a couple of years, I mean, what a pickup. It's just phenomenal. If this kid stays healthy, it's just the sky's the absolute limit. Watching him run is so much fun.
It is, and it was a very classic Le'Veon Bell. You know, I saw a lot of him in college at Michigan State, and that was the type of back that he was there. He got better as the game went on, and he just punishes defenders. I mean, he and Griffin, the safety, I don't know how many collisions they had last night where it was one guy got the better of the other, then the next run the other guy returned the favor, and I mean, there were just some unbelievable collisions, and both guys kept getting up. I mean, it was just good to see some typical traditional football last night and not have to worry about, you know, defensive backs getting called for being too handsy and stuff. That the running game took all that away. It was just, as they say, mano a mano, and it was just great to watch Bell and great to watch that offensive line work. Heath Miller coming around on those traps and DeCastro coming around. I mean, just the type of thing you want to see more of, and at least more consistently.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, as we might remember, the Steelers, of course, have a history with the Titans back in, you know, in the days when they were in the same division with the Ravens as well. So it's not, you know, so there is some nasty, you know, feelings between these two teams, you know, from back in the day. Of course, you know, the whole terrible towel thing that's happened in the past. You know, I don't know how many people actually remember or care about that anymore as far as the Titans go. But, of course, Steelers fans never forget that. So it's nice to go into, you know, a rival stadium like that and to put up, you know, get a big win in such a convincing way of being physical. It was definitely reminiscent of the old AFC days in the AFC Central, you know, and in the AFC North the way it is now with the running game. So it was awesome. You know, Le'Veon Bell, of course, did the class act after getting interviewed in the game. He gave all the props to, you know, the offensive line and, of course, to Ben for putting him in the right positions, calling, you know, the Mahaley doing the right play. So it was nice to see him, you know, kind of, you know, give credit where it was due. Obviously, he was a big part of it, but seeing, you know, the big fat guys opening up holes was fun.
You know, and I think this is where, you know, Roethlisberger is such a lightning rod. I mean, people either love him or hate him, and I think last night he did as well as he's ever done, at least this season, with finding the right play at the right time, and I think that's part on him. I think it's part adjustments with Munchak and with Haley, because they were just getting destroyed with that A-gap blitz, and they just couldn't seem to figure out what they wanted to do. So it looked like he was going to the line with definitely what I would call a check with me situation, and if he felt those guys were coming, then he was going to get out of one thing and go into another or stay with what they had. So, you know, we forget that part about the quarterback. We focus so much on their ability to throw the ball and make the right throws and, you know, make the right decisions. But when you're at the line of scrimmage, you got to be able to read that defense too, and I thought Ben had a good night in that regard.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and I tell you, it was nice to see him. You know, every time he felt the blitz was coming, he would, you know, put his hands up, and that was a signal, you know, and then they would change the play. And more often than not, you know, Bell would get the ball, and of course, you know, they turned it into a first down. So, so let's just shift gears for a little bit quick and talk about the passing game. Obviously, Brown had another big game. He was 9 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. Heath Miller had 5 catches for 71 yards, so it was nice to see him kind of get back into the swing of things. Do you get the impression that Ben maybe targets Brown a little bit too much, and that he's almost become more of a safety blanket than what Heath has? And, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, AB is hard to stop. He's the best receiver in the league right now. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, it almost seems like it becomes the Ben and AB show more than maybe it should be. That's just kind of my two cents.
You know, I think there were a couple of things that happened last night to definitely make us feel that way. I think Martavis Bryant struggled. I think he looked like a rookie last night a couple times. I really thought he should have caught the one ball in the end zone. It would have been a good play. The defender got his hand in there, but I still, a professional makes that catch. And as you noticed, they went a little bit more with Lance Moore towards the end, and also you saw a little Haywood Bey. He didn't get any catches, but he was in there too. So I think, you know, he did. He was exposed a little bit, and Wheaton, you know, Wheaton only had the one catch and was targeted 5 times. So I think if I'm a defense, I think you're right, man. I think I'm really putting a lot of attention on Brown. But then again, you look at what the Titans did last night. I mean, they doubled him in the red zone, and he still caught a touchdown pass. You know, so I don't blame Ben in that regard for having him as a safety blanket, just because he's so darn good. But I think you're right, though. I think he's got to be careful about relying on him too much.
Yeah, and that's just something that I've noticed this year, and obviously last year, of course, when he really burst onto the scene. You know, I mean, and the guy is productive. He's reliable. You know, he doesn't normally turn the ball over except for last week against the Jets. Yeah. But I mean, you know, normally, so it's hard, you know, I mean, quarterbacks like guys who they have a rapport with. Obviously, Ben has one with Heath and AB more than he has with Martavis and Marcus Wheaton and, you know, even Lance Moore at this point. So you're right. I don't blame him from that perspective. But sooner or later, there's going to come a time when either AB is not in the game for some reason or, you know, teams, you know, double or triple cover him or find some way to take him out of the game. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, Ben continues to give the young guys targets because they're going to be needed down the stretch if the Steelers are going to do anything, you know, come playoff time. So it's just kind of an observation I have.
Yeah, I, you know, my dog desperately wants to be a part of the show today for whatever reason.
So, I know, cool. We like dogs. Dogs are cool.
Well, they're nice dogs. You know, you're right. I think they're going to have to prepare for that. They always do. And I think the one thing maybe they can hang their hat on from last night is the running game. Maybe that running game, if that gets cooking, then you don't really have to worry so much about who's guarding Brown and who's not. So, but it is something to definitely consider moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's something that was on my mind. I thought, you know, we should talk about that on the show. So we did, and that's all good.
We did, yeah.
Yes, we did. So, yeah, so we'll start to wrap it up here. Of course, the Steelers coming into a bye week. Man, is this not the best time for a bye ever? I mean, it's late in the season, so, you know, you get some guys healthy going into the stretch run, and it happens over Thanksgiving week. It doesn't get any better than that. For me, at least.
No, it doesn't, because you know what? Now, I don't have to eat Thanksgiving dinner and have an ulcer thinking about the game coming up on Sunday when they would normally be playing.
Exactly.
That's good for at least a couple more pounds of mashed potatoes right there. You know, so I can love that part of it. It is. It's a perfect time. The weather's cold. You know, some of these guys, I'm sure, will get out of town for a couple of days, go where it's warm, or just stay at home and relax. Who knows? But it is. It's a great time to have it. I mean, you talk to an NFL head coach, and they'll tell you any time's a great time for a bye week, I'm sure. But this time, you know, you're going to get Ryan Shazier back. It looks like you're going to get Troy back. You know, it looks like Steve McClendon should be healthy again. So this is a great time. Everybody should be back. Everybody should be ready to go. It's going to be a stretch run. You're going to have three home games out of the last five. You got on the road at Atlanta, on the road at Cincinnati, and, of course, you get the Bengals, Saints, and Chiefs. And none of those will be easy, but they're all going to be at home.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And those are all, you know, obviously winnable games, at least in my opinion. But you're right, you know, they're not going to be easy, especially teams, you know, like the Saints right now, who, you know, everybody thought were invincible a couple of years ago. Now they're kind of sucking, so... you know, overall, you're right. There's huge divisional games, but, you know, we can enjoy this win on the road, and you know, the Steelers have set themselves up nicely to be able to overtake the division lead if they keep winning. So right now, the Steelers hold pretty much the future in their own hands.
Yep.
They control their own destiny the rest of the way. So that's exciting. You know, we'll have a short show. You know, obviously next week the Steelers won't be playing. So, you know, we'll have come on here and talk some injury updates and, you know, game plans for the coming week. But I think with that, we will wrap it up. So we want to thank everybody for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym in North Hills. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.